Hello listeners and welcome to a Sportspiel Commonwealth Games special. On this episode, before the Gold Coast Games get underway, we are joined by Team England boxer Chevon Clark, a man who has a unique outlook on life for a very good reason. At the age of 8, Chevon almost lost his life when he fell off a ladder and impaled himself on a metal spike. 10 years later, at the age of 18, he cheated death a second time when his appendix burst. As a result of all these experiences, his outlook on life's changed, and he is all about enjoying the here and now, and a big part of that is his boxing. The Gold Coast Games will be his second Commonwealth after he represented Jamaica at Glasgow 2014, but now, with much more experience in the bag and results to back him up, he is hoping for big things down in Australia. We recorded this interview a few weeks ago, and I think Chevon's determination and his charisma comes through so well in it, so I hope you enjoy our in-depth chat with him about his sport and his life. Chevon, thanks so much for joining us, and welcome to the podcast. How are you doing?
I'm very well, thank you. Very privileged to be on the podcast.
Great stuff. Now, if anyone was to Google Chevon Clark, they would find a real gem of a boxer right now with absolutely bags of potential. But the sporting life you lead now could easily have been so very different because you have experienced not one, but two life-threatening incidents during your early years. We'll come on to the first one now. You were aged 8. Living in Jamaica, and you fell off a ladder and impaled yourself on a spike. What do you remember about that incident?
I just remember coming from school, really. It was just a normal day, coming from school, and I was playing. The guys coming up for me, and they were like, oh, we're going to play hide and seek or whatever. We'd already seeked, so it's our time to hide, and I thought I'd be a smart one and go and find myself an unfinished building site. And not only that, well, try and get on top of the house because I thought that would be the place they wouldn't look. But, as I was trying to get up onto the roof, I ran up the ladder. It's a wooden ladder. And I, got halfway up it, it snapped. And I fell down and impaled on a spike. Just remember some guys finding me, picking me up and taking me to the hospital. And, from there, I woke up, my mum and everybody was around me, and then, they said I was a very lucky man to be alive.
Whereabouts did it impale you?
It went basically into my stomach. Into my stomach.
So for someone, a kid at such a young age to go through,
I mean,
how tough is that to recover from something like that?
When you're a kid, you don't really think about it. It's just something that's happened, really. You just think... you just think it's something that's happened. You don't really think about it as such.
Yeah, but of course you bounce back. But if that wasn't enough, then 10 years later, you suffered from a burst appendix which leaked poison into your body. So just how close did you come to losing your life with that?
I was a little bit older, so I knew what was going on then. So I went down and the doctor actually said, Mr. Clark, we had to do everything we could to save you. You were a very, very, very lucky man, you know, a flat land on the table. And they did everything they could to bring me back to life, which I'm grateful for. So,
absolutely. But going through sort of two such serious things like that at a very early age as well, how does that change or affect your outlook on life?
You know what I mean? I get up every day and I'm happy to be alive, man. I just make the most of it. I meet people and I'm grateful for the people that come into my life and people that go out to my life because they all contribute in some way. Do you know what I mean? So I'm just very grateful for it and I just make the most of all the opportunities that I'm getting, you know, and all the opportunities that are to come. Just make the most of them, you know. Never know what's going to happen tomorrow, right?
Yeah, so it's basically like enjoy the moment while it's here.
Yeah, just worry about now, don't worry about later, or yesterday.
Exactly. Now, away from the near-death experiences, as we touched upon, you grew up in Jamaica until you moved to the UK at the age of 11. What was it like growing up in Jamaica, and how different is it growing up in that country compared to this country?
I'd say, let's say, over here, obviously, you have more opportunities. There's more structural things like sport and stuff for kids. When I was in Jamaica, I played mostly cricket. I'd come home from school and we'd play cricket. So, like, you'd get, like, oranges on the tree and we'd use them as balls. And we'd make the cricket bat out of, like, wood and stuff. And we'd just play cricket. Or if somebody had a football, we'd play football. So it was fun, you know what I mean? It was more adventurous. We'd be outside more as kids. Over here, you have more computerized stuff. You don't really go out as much, do you know what I mean? But it's still fun. It's two different lifestyles, but you make the most of what you've got, right?
Yeah, exactly, of course. And when you came over to the UK, I mean, you were 11 with your mum and your sister, first to London, then to Gravesend in Kent. Did you find it difficult to adjust to that new way of life in the new country?
Man, it was cold. I just remember it being cold. And, I'm not a really fussy person, so I just got on with it, really.
So, on to boxing. And you were introduced to the sport at Gravesham ABC. Who got you into it, and how did you find your way into the sport?
So, basically, as a young kid, I loved football when I came here. I was, you know, going to football and I advanced quite quickly. I got to a decent level. But, you know, I got a little bit older and I was playing at a decent level, as I said. And the results weren't going my way and I thought my team wasn't giving as much effort. My teammates wasn't giving as much effort as I did. Do you know what I mean? So I thought I want to find a sport that will reward me for the effort that I put in. And going to school, I was used to pass this boxing club, but you know, I was a little bit scared to go there. So when I got a little bit older, I called my friend and I was like, hey man, we're going to a boxing gym. And he goes, no, I ain't coming. So like the next time I called him, I was like, oh, we're going somewhere else. So he came and we went to the boxing gym and it went from there. After that, I went to the boxing gym for about 2 months, and then that's the time when my second near-death experience happened. Mm-hmm. I came back out, and then I went to another club, and it was in Gravesend, but it was a Fight for Change charity, which is based in London as well. So I got introduced to boxing through there. Quickly advanced into the ranks. I had my first fight, won the under 10s, and I progressed really quickly, you know. And they said, "Oh, you've got potential." So I just took it on from there, really.
Yeah, was it something you kind of instantly fell in love with, that sport? Or did you have to, you know, take time to kind of fall in love with it?
You know what it was, man. I got into it and I thought, yeah, I get to punch somebody, right? and then I found out, like, there was a lot of work to this stuff, man. I remember a couple of my young training sessions and I was like, what am I doing here? Like, I'm putting myself in pain for no reason. But, yeah, you fall in love with it. And after being very persistent, you know, having won everything at a young age and having won the ABAs, I've come on, I've learned to be consistent and persistent with it, and I'm the person I am now.
Yeah, I mean, that dedication to training and things like that is obviously something that always comes up with all the athletes we interview. How hard is it to switch your mind into fully dedicating yourself that way?
I wouldn't say I've always been fully dedicated, but after having disappointments can either make you or they can break you. And I'm a person, like, I don't like losing. It doesn't matter what I'm doing. Rather, if it's PlayStation or whatever, I'll restart that game until I complete that mission. And it was the same thing with boxing, you know. As I said, I won everything as a novice, but I hadn't won the Open ABAs, which is basically all the elite athletes around the country. And then I just kept going until I did. Do you know what I mean? A disappointment. Obviously, when you're disappointed, you're like, oh, I ain't going to box again. I ain't going to do it again. And then, like, 2 weeks later, you're down the gym for training again. You know? So.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And also on your CV, you've got a 2-year stint as an HGV driver. Was there a reason? Did you kind of step away from the sport while you did that job, or was it something you did alongside?
Yeah, again, another disappointment. So, you know, I boxed for Jamaica in the Commonwealth Games in 2014. After disappointments of being selected for trials for GB, I made it to the last three out of 30, and I felt I should have been on the program, you know. So I didn't make it onto GB, and it was coming up around the time of the Commonwealth Games. My coach said, listen, mate, you're born Jamaican. You can go and box for Jamaica. So we took that route. I went to the Commonwealth Games and I wasn't successful. Come back home and I said, listen, this ain't for me no more. I can't be bothered with it. So pick up the lorry driving, passed my test. And I was just doing that and I really enjoyed it. Like, honestly, it's a great job. 2 years later, my coach kept saying to me, listen, mate, you've got potential. You're wasting it. And obviously I was driving, and then one day I just went back to the gym and I fell in love with it again.
Yeah. You say, like, disappointments making and breaking you. Was that kind of 2 year break away from the sport? Did that really help you? Was it something you needed at that time?
Oh, honestly, it was the best thing I've done, I think. Best thing I've done, honestly. Because when I was boxing in 2014 Commonwealth Games, I boxed at 81 kilograms. So over the time of being a lorry driver, I was eating a lot. You know what I mean? I got a couple more kilos on. So now I moved up 10 kilos to 91 kilos, which was the next weight up. And I came back. And as I said before, that I hadn't won the Open ABAs yet or nothing. I came back and I've won the Open ABAs twice. So I think that's the best thing that could have happened to me.
Yeah, exactly. And you've already touched on your first Commonwealth Games experience in 2014 in Glasgow, where you represented Jamaica. And obviously results-wise, it didn't really go to plan. But in terms of the experience and learning from, you know, competing on a stage that big, what did you learn?
Oh, man, honestly, when I first saw the arena in Glasgow, the Commonwealth Games, it was so bright. And it was like, you know, in a movie where they give you a scene from heaven and it's just very bright and it looks amazing. That's what it was like for me. And like when I came out, I was a little bit nervous because it's like I've never boxed in front of 3,000 people before. And, you know, I dealt with it, handled the pressure. But it's given me so much confidence going forward. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, like, I've boxed in front of massive crowds now. And I boxing in the Commonwealth Games has just changed the whole outlook for me. You know, I don't get nervous no more. I don't get stage fright. I just take it on and experience it. Do you know what I mean?
Exactly.
Make the most of it.
Yeah. And, of course, you had someone as experienced and well-renowned as Usain Bolt as your next-door neighbour during that Games. What was that like?
That was amazing. Very cool guy, man. Very cool guy. Just very laid back. You know, the Jamaican attribute, very laid back, cool. I'm not a person that get you know, when you see a celebrity and you get like shocked like that. I'm not that type of person. So he was just like a normal guy to me, but he's just very very laid back, cool, invites you in, play Call of Duty, that kind of guy, you know, very laid back guy, nice person.
Yeah, I can't imagine what playing Call of Duty would be like with Usain Bolt.
He's very good.
Yeah, and I suppose from your point of view, from like an athlete as well, seeing obviously someone as successful as he is, so laid back, is that something you took from him as well, that you could be so laid back and still be so successful?
Oh, 100%. Because at the end of the day, stressing ain't going to make it any better. Stressing ain't going to help you win. You need to be as focused as you can. So, you know, just be laid back, enjoy the moment and live it.
Yeah. And now we are here in 2018 and you've been selected for the Gold Coast Games for Team England. How proud a moment was that for you when you found out about your selection?
Oh, it was massive for me because, you know what I mean, I want my story to say when all said and done, he never gave up. Do you know what I mean? And the kids from around where I live and the people that know me, I want them to be able to look at me and say, you know, he did it. He's from around here. He did it. I can do it. And just being selected alone, that kind of has confirmed that for me. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's what it means to me. It means a lot to me. It's an honour, man. It's an honour.
Yeah, I mean, how important then is that to you to sort of pave the way for a lot of kids in your area that, you know, and do you see yourself as that real person to pave the way?
It's a weird one because I don't see myself as a star, an important person like that, but I would like to be somebody that people, kids or people look at and think and find inspiration from. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Someone that did real good with the talent that they were doing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And yeah, not just waste it on, you know, whatever people waste their talents on. Yeah.
Yeah. And you've had plenty of accolades, I mean, throughout your career, like European silver medalist and world number five in the world. Where would a Commonwealth medal rank?
Come on, man. The other ones, they're in the past, so they don't really matter right now. So the next thing is the Commonwealth Games, and that would mean the world. Like, that would be the world. That's like second to the Olympics in my eyes. Do you understand what I mean? So, yeah, that would mean the world.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we'll come on to the Olympics now, since you mentioned it there. I mean, is that kind of the ultimate aim for you, once this is all said and done?
100%. The Olympics, as an amateur athlete, that is the... Oh, I mean, some pro athletes would love to have an Olympic medal to their name. So, yeah, 100%. I won't say it's been my lifetime dream, but since I've been boxing and since I know what boxing means to me, yeah, it's up there. It's the ultimate thing as an amateur.
Exactly. And that's something I kind of... I'm getting from you, in that it's very much not about looking back and what's been said and done. It's very much looking forward and to the next goal and to the next goal. Is that fair?
Yeah, because let's give it an let's say Arsenal, for instance. Arsenal were very successful. Like, they're not successful now. Do you know what I mean? There's no point looking at something that you've done ages ago. You've got to look on to the next thing and to the next thing and to the next thing. Life's about starting and growing, not about starting and staying stagnant.
Yeah. Well, as a West Ham fan, I have no idea what success looks like, so all I have to look back on is the past.
You know, some people like to look back for the past, but, you know, I'm sure West Ham will do good in the future.
Oh, thank you for saying that. back to the Olympics. I know there's been a few rumours floating around that boxing could end up being banned from Tokyo 2020 because of concerns with how the sport is being run by the governing body. I mean, from an athlete's point of view, to have that taken away from you through means that you can't control, surely that would be like the most devastating thing.
You know, as I said, I would like to win an Olympic medal, but at the end of the day, as I said, I don't stress about things I can't control. Mm-hmm. So if they take it away, they take it away. There's nothing we can do. There's nothing we can do once they've taken it away. Do you understand what I mean? I don't know if I sound arrogant in the way I'm saying it, but we can't control it, so I don't really stress about it.
Yeah. So it's worry about the things that you can control, basically.
Yeah, 100%.
Mm-hmm. And again, going back to Commonwealths, have you set yourself like an aim of things that you want to improve and pick up and learn this time around, or is it solely medal focus?
You know, everything's different now. You know, so in the whole training, the preparation for it, all of it is all different now. The confidence is on another level. I've got the experience from that one to build on. Literally, I'm just going there, work my hardest to get a medal, you know, and show people that it can be done, you know?
Yeah.
After failure, there is success.
Yeah. Are you approaching, your preparation-wise, these games any differently than you were the 2014 games?
Yeah, 100%. It's 100% different. Everything is different. You know, I was training on my own back then. I didn't prepare with Jamaica or anything like that. It's 100%. The whole setup is different. You know, got different motivations, different coaches around me, much more of a team spirit around it, even though it's an individual sport. And the whole nation behind me and much more bigger following. So, yeah, it's a whole different picture.
Exactly. And I know whenever an athlete is successful, it's never just them. There's always like a support team behind them. And I know you want to say a big thanks to a lot of the people that have helped you out.
Yeah, no, I'm an ambassador for Fire for Change charity, so, you know, thank you for everything they've done to helped me get to where I am so far. I've got some people that sponsor me in High Scale Scaffolding Limited, Forest Labour Solutions from Gravesend, and The Body Kitchen online, you know. So, and all the people that generally support me, even the people that honk their horn when I'm running, do you know what I mean? Things like that just mean so much to me. You know, all the people online, thank you very much. Yeah, my family and friends.
Exactly. Thank you. And when you get out to the Gold Coast, what's the main thing you're looking forward to out of everything?
Out of everything is to come back with a medal. That is all I care about. I don't care about the sun. I don't care about anything else out there other than the medal. That's all. Like, I'm a person where I just set myself on a mission. Once the mission is complete, we can think of other things to do or whatever. But that's it. I'm out there to collect a medal, and that's it. That's all I'm focused on right now.
Perfect. And with that, we better wrap up. And I think I'll speak for everyone who both works on this podcast and also listens to it, in that we hope you bring back a medal as well, because, I mean, you've clearly got the talent and you're clearly determined enough to get it. So we wish you all the very best when that time to shine out on the Gold Coast arrives for you.
Well, thank you very much, man. I appreciate being on the podcast.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Have you signed up to Banana Crumble, the free online cash prize giveaway? Sign up today at www.bananacrumble.co.uk for your chance to win. Sign up is quick, free and easy. Don't believe us? Hear what some of our winners have had to say.
Winning £50 with Banana Crumble was an amazing feeling. Being a student, it's often hard to get money, so I was able to put it straight towards my rent for second term.
Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. Working alongside the Cystic Fibrosis Trust to raise vital funds for this fantastic cause.